Turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 3. We're going to finish chapter 3 this evening, verses 19 through 24. It's always a bit of a discouragement when you sit down to begin sermon prep and you open up the Word and you read through it and you think, well, that's going to be a little difficult. I'm going to have to read that several times and meditate on it some more, and maybe I'll pull a commentary off the shelf and see what help a commentary can give. And you open it up, and the commentary says this is one of the most difficult passages in John's letters, and scholars are in broad disagreement about what to do with these verses. But I hope this evening, as we come and in the few minutes that we have, we open these verses up, we'll take a general view and see the main thrust of what it is that John is doing in these verses. Context is always a help to us. If you look at chapter 3, verse 11, ever since that verse in particular, it's not the first time in the book that he's brought the subject up, but in our immediate context, John is concerned with directing the readers to love one another, and he wants to situate that commandment to love one another in the Christian life and in the revelation of God throughout history. As we come to verses 19 through 24 this evening, I'm going to read it in a moment, and you're going to see there's a sort of swirling of John's logic. He's going to say things like, this is the commandment, believe in Jesus and love one another, because he commanded it, right? He opens with commandment, gives us the content, reminds us that it's a commandment. There's this swirling that we have in the text that, quite frankly, in my opinion, defies a neat outline. And so this evening, we're not going to have specific points, and I apologize to those of you for whom writing down the points is really important, but we are going to work through the text. We're going to consider the truth that we find here in this text as we encounter it. John, I think, and I'll say this, and then we'll pray and read the text. I think the reason, perhaps, that John writes in this fashion is because what John is talking about at the end of all of it is relationship with God and how it is that we can have the confidence and assurance that comes from knowing that we have that right relationship. And so he's going to take the elements of that right relationship and he's just going to stir them together, because there's perhaps in some sense no true priority to those elements, but all of them are true for those who are in relationship with God by faith in Jesus Christ. And so with that in mind, let me pray for us and we'll read our verses this evening. Father, we thank you for your word, and we trust that even as we come to a difficult passage, a passage that is going to present us with problems if we were to take it word by word and phrase by phrase, we pray that tonight your Spirit, Father, would be at work. Keep me from error as I preach. Father, I pray that there would be clarity in the preaching of your word tonight for the good of your people, that our hearts would be strengthened and built up, that we would be even more knit together in love because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that you would do all of this for our good and for your glory, in Christ's name. Amen. Hear the reading of God's word, 1 John chapter 3, beginning in verse 19. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So many elements of relationship here. We want assurance. We want to know that we are of the truth. We want to know that we abide in God and God abides in us. We want the confidence and the assurance that comes from these things that leads us to go to Him and petition Him and to be confident that He will give what is asked because it is according to His will. We have so many elements of relationship here where God commands us. He instructs us in what is right and good and true and calls us to live according to that. And we, belonging to Him, knowing Him, loving Him, obey those commands. All of this is at stake this evening. All of it is in play, if you will, as we come to this passage where John, who's been giving them instruction to love one another, is doing so, remember, in the context of a community where some have gone out from the community because of their rejection of the truth about who Jesus Christ is, because of their assertion and their insistence that He is, in fact, something or someone else. Because of this, they've gone out in the community. It's too easy for us to read this letter so far removed from this time and this place, never having been members of this particular community in this time and place. It's far too easy for us to hear that and to register it in some academic corner of our mind. A community of the faithful has been torn apart. They are not only mourning the loss of friends and perhaps even family who have gone out, but they are left wondering for themselves, what is the truth and how important is it? John, in his instruction to them, is assuring them about the truth of who Jesus Christ is, but he's also calling them to love one another in the midst of these difficult circumstances, and in fact pointing to the truth. That loving one another is necessary, it is required, it is even a commandment of God. Love, I don't know that we necessarily do this explicitly, but I wonder sometimes if we aren't guilty of imagining that loving brothers and sisters in Christ is a spiritual gift. Like the kind of spiritual gift that one over there has it, but this one over here doesn't. And we excuse ourselves from sacrificially loving one another because that's that person's spiritual gift. They're really good at loving people. It's not my spiritual gift. I've got a different gift over here, and I'm busy being faithful to use that gift. I'm not really a lover, right? That's somebody else's thing. What John wants us to see in this letter, and it comes to a point this evening in these verses, is that love is not a spiritual gift in that sense, that love is required of all the people of God, and in fact is a characteristic of those people. If we are in the truth, if we are of the truth, if we know God and love God, if we are abiding in God, we will love one another. It's couched as a commandment, and there's no reason to even try and escape that. It's clear from the text, and this, verse 23, is His commandment. We're going to come back to believing in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, in a moment, but the other half of that commandment is love one another, just as He has commanded us. But the truth is that in the context of relationship with God, loving one another is precisely what we will do. It is as inherent to our renewed nature in Christ as loving God is. We love one another. Remember in the previous verses, he says, "Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth," verse 18. And that is the truth with which our verses open this evening. By this, we shall know that we are of the truth. This refers to loving in deed and in truth. By this, we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before Him. What John wants to get at here in reassuring the heart, and in this passage where he's talking about confidence, we have confidence before God, he says at the end of verse 21. And because of this confidence, we ask and we receive. We're bold to petition Him. What John is wanting to get at is the confidence and reassurance that is ours because we know that we belong to God. But we want to keep these things in order always. It's not that we love and therefore He saves us, but that this is who we are and therefore what we do. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. Verse 20, for whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and he knows everything. Have you ever experienced this, your heart condemning you? Maybe that those aren't the terms that you would have couched it in. Maybe that's not how you thought about what was happening. But have you ever said to yourself, I don't deserve this? And I don't mean in the true theological sense. I mean in the sense that your heart says to you, it accuses you, you are a sinner. How could God ever love you? You are a sinner. Your heart says this to you, contrary to the truth that you know that God in Jesus Christ has put away your sin and guilt. Remember, he's talking to a Christian community. We have this evidence by which we are reassured that we belong to him, that we love the brothers and the sisters. We love one another in Christ. For whenever our heart condemns us, what does he mean? God is greater than our heart and knows everything. These two truths together are a profound source of our confidence. God is greater than our heart. He means that God is a greater judge than our heart. God has more authority than our heart. And when the one who is trusting in Christ and repenting of their sins, grieved by their sins, hating their sins, and their heart says to them, yes, you are indeed a sinner and unworthy of the love of God. And in fact, you do not have that love. God, the greater judge, has said to us in Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. And you say, yes, 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 but no one knows my sin more than my heart knows it. And John says, no, God knows everything. God, who knows everything, has said to you that because of the finished work of Jesus Christ, you stand before him righteous. Whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. There is no truth that is going to be revealed to God at any point that, having been ignorant of it before, God now knowing it decides, that's it, no more grace for you. There's nothing that you are going to do in the future. No sin you will commit, and despite your hatred of that sin, your grief of it, your repentance of that sin, God says to you, if I'd known you were going to do that, I never would have brought you into the fold to begin with. God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. And beloved, if we know this, if we believe this, if we understand this, so that our heart cannot and does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, John says. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. All kinds of potential error in reading these verses. Whatever we ask, we receive. Right? It could potentially lead to a sort of name it and claim it understanding of the God that we love and serve and who loves us. But remember that this is in the context of those who know God and are known by God, who abide in him and in whom he abides. John is describing a relationship in which we know God and we know God's will, and the things that we pray for and ask for are in accordance with his will. It's in the context of a loving relationship with God that we ask and we receive. It could be misconstrued in verse 22 that whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. As though he were an Old Testament God, that if we do the things that are necessary to appease him, then he will give us what we need. It would be very easy to read the text that way, wouldn't it? But we have to read the text in this context of John describing to us what it looks like to be in relationship with the life-giving God. Whatever we ask, we receive from him, verse 22, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. What then are his commandments? John is going to answer that question in a way that's reminiscent of Christ in the Gospels as he's asked, what is the greatest commandment? Verse 23, and this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. As if all commandments are subsumed under this head. In the same way that you remember that the Ten Commandments are broken into two tablets, and the first tablet is those first four commandments that describe our relationship with God, and the second tablet are those six commandments that describe our relationship with one another, so that when John comes to this passage and wants to tell us what the commandment of God is that we keep, he says, we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. First tablet. Yeah, that first tablet, those first four commandments. And we're not to have any other gods, and we're not to take his name in vain. Right? We're to remember the Sabbath. These first four commandments describe our relationship with God. What is that relationship ultimately? What that relationship looks like is faith. It is believing in the name, that is the character, the truth, that everything about the person and work of his Son, Jesus Christ. There is our relationship with God, rooted in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And to love one another. There are your last six commandments, that second tablet. What does it look like to keep all of the commandments? It's summarized in this, love one another. Now, John, this letter, 1 John, the greatest abuse this letter tends to receive is the reduction of God down to a single idea that God is love. And then to misdefine or wrongly define love in such a way that we change the very character of God in that simple phrase, God is love. If we understand that love, as John intends it in this letter, consists of how it is that we interact with one another and interact with God, right? Remember, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. The commandments are all summarized in these two things: faith in the name, believing in the name of the Son of Jesus Christ, of his Son, Jesus Christ, and loving one another just as he has commanded us. This is what it looks like to live the Christian life. We are not excused from loving one another. When we are offended by a brother or sister in the church, we are not excused from loving one another. When we are tired, when we are poor, when we are weak, we are not excused from loving one another. When we have higher priorities than brothers and sisters in the church, things we would rather do with our money, with our time, with our energy, we are not excused from loving one another. Loving one another is so fundamental to the character of the Christian life that John is insinuating here, and only here, elsewhere he says it explicitly, if we do not love one another, we do not know God. John says, by this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. By this, when we love one another in deed and in truth, we obey the commandments of God. What are the commandments of God? Faith in Jesus Christ and love towards one another. These are the commands, and we do these things because we know him. They are evidences of our relationship with God because they are what the person does that knows God and is in relationship with God. Verse 24, whoever keeps his commandments abides in God and God in him. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God and God in him. That is, in our passage this evening, the ultimate expression of relationship. To abide in God and God in him. To abide in God is to rest in God, to find all of your resource in God, to go to God and God alone for the truth and to receive instruction, to be obedient to God above all others, to abide in God is to know that God is the source of your life. I want to warn us again, whoever keeps his commandments abides in God. Don't get this out of order. If you abide in God, you will keep his commandments. Now, that includes, we're not talking about perfection in the Christian life. We're not talking about sinlessness, but we are talking about pursuing righteousness and holiness. And even our repentance is an obedience to Christ. We repent when we sin. We acknowledge that this is wrong, that we should have done something or we shouldn't have done something. Faith, believing in Jesus Christ, and repentance, and loving one another are what it looks like in the Christian life to breathe in and to breathe out. To know God, to know His love, and to have the confidence that comes from knowing Him, that enables us to petition Him, to go to Him, to ask Him with confidence, and to know that we will receive what is needed. This is what John is getting at for us this evening in this difficult passage. We know because of the finished work of Jesus Christ that even when our own hearts condemn us, they are false judges, that God is greater and He knows everything. And so, brothers and sisters, we're called to do these two things. To believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another. I will tell you, as the pastor, one of the pastors here at All Saints, God has blessed us tremendously. There is a palpable love for one another in our congregation. And I give thanks to God for that. I rejoice in it. But we don't want to become complacent. Don't overlook this great grace of God to us in this church. And in fact, let's keep pressing on. To borrow another expression from Scripture, let's work hard, let's strive to outdo one another in love. To be ready to sacrifice whatever needs to be sacrificed for one another, to lift one another up, to encourage one another, to provide for the needs that each of us have, to point one another to Christ, to remind one another of the need and the importance in repenting of our sins, and to model that by repenting to one another. These are just a few examples of how it is that we love one another in deed and in truth, and in so doing, give evidence of the fact that we abide in God and He abides in us. And from that evidence, from that assurance that we have, to be bold to ask God for what is needed and to be confident that He will give what is asked. Let's pray.